From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Andrés Manuel López Obrador is the new president-elect of Mexico. Voters handed Obrador, or AMLO as he is called, a landslide victory this weekend, which came as no surprise after months of polling that showed he would win. He is the first left-leaning president to lead the country in decades, and Mexicans tired of corruption and violence are hopeful today. Winning 54% of the vote in a field with three other major party candidates, AMLO has a broad mandate to reshape the country. Now, his election on Sunday spells bad news for the Trump administration, who he has vowed to protect Mexicans against. Here is the president-elect of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, in an excerpt from his victory speech.
We will search for a relationship with the U.S. government based on friendship and development, always inculcated with mutual respect and in defense of our compatriots, immigrants who live and work in that country. I reiterate my promise to not betray your confidence, which millions of Mexicans have placed in me. I will govern honestly and justly. I will not fail you. I will not disappoint you, and I will not betray my people.
And that is AMLO, the new president-elect of Mexico. We'll have an in-depth analysis of what his election means for Mexico on our show tomorrow. Here in the United States, hundreds of thousands of Americans, immigrants, and their allies attended June 30th rallies in more than 700 cities across the country. Under the banner of Keep Families Together, the marches and protests held on Saturday were an indication of the mass disapproval Americans have of the Trump administration's decision to criminally prosecute all undocumented immigrants and thereby separate parents from children. Jess Morales Roqueto with the National Domestic Workers Alliance told NBC News, "I have literally never seen Americans show up for immigrants like this." In New York, marchers crossed the Brooklyn Bridge chanting, "Immigrants built this bridge," before heading to an Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, building and yelling, "Shame." In Washington, D.C., where the main rally was organized, award-winning playwright Lin-Manuel Miranda sang a song from Hamilton. In Boston, a Brazilian mother, whose story we've been following, addressed the crowd. Lydia Karine Souza, who has sued the U.S. government to get her 9-year-old son Diogo back from the government, told protesters, "We came to the United States seeking help, and we never imagined that this could happen, so I beg everyone, please release these children. Give my son back to me." Also in Boston, Senator Elizabeth Warren called for ICE to be abolished, a now familiar refrain that activists have been demanding and that is being echoed by several members of Congress. In Bedminster, New Jersey, a few hundred people gathered outside a golf course where President Trump was spending the weekend. And in Atlanta, Georgia, Representative John Lewis, who is an icon of the civil rights movement, gave a rousing speech.
We are sick and tired of seeing little children, seeing little babies taken from their mothers. That's not right. It's not fair. And history will not be kind to us. As a nation and as a people, we can do better, much better.
That is John Lewis speaking in Atlanta, Georgia, on Saturday as part of the June 30th rallies, demanding that the government keep families together. In Los Angeles, where we are based, thousands of people also flooded the streets of downtown. And our correspondent, Nick Cha Kim, attended the rally. On tomorrow's show, we'll bring you his full report back. In an interview with Fox Business News on Sunday, Trump made light of the calls to abolish ICE, conflating it as a Democratic election-related message that would hurt his rival party. "All it's going to do is lead to massive, massive crime," Trump said, adding, "I think they'll never win another election, so I'm actually quite happy about it." Meanwhile, Associated Press is reporting that Border Patrol arrests have sharply dropped last month. The report from an anonymous government official means that a 4-month increase since February was reversed. Border Patrol, quote, made 34,057 arrests on the border with Mexico during June, down 16% from 40,344. The numbers from June were still double that from last June. Analysts disagree why the numbers have changed, with some citing Trump's harsh border enforcement finally having a deterrent effect, and others suggesting harsh summer temperatures are responsible. On the same day that protesters marched for immigrant rights over the weekend, a right-wing rally in Portland, Oregon turned violent. A gathering organized by the hate group Patriot Prayer at a federal park in downtown Portland turned into a riot after anti-fascist activists showed up and clashes ensued. The 100 or so Patriot Prayer white supremacists were outnumbered by the counter-protesters. A local news outlet reported that police used firecrackers, smoke bombs, and flashbangs to disrupt the fighting. Reporter Katie Shepard posted this video to Twitter. The Portland Police Department announced that four people had been hospitalized for injuries and four others arrested. In other news, Maine Senator Susan Collins has thrown up a potential roadblock to Trump's Supreme Court pick for Justice Anthony Kennedy's seat. Senator Collins, considered a moderate Republican, has vowed not to vote for any candidate for the seat that would jeopardize the Roe v. Wade decision. In an interview on CNN's State of the Union yesterday, she said, "I would not support a nominee who demonstrated hostility to Roe v. Wade because that would mean to me that their judicial philosophy did not include a respect for established decisions, established law." But the pro-choice senator also said she thinks current justices Neil Gorsuch, who she voted to confirm last year, and Justice John Roberts could be trusted to preserve women's right to an abortion. We'll have more on the fight to replace Kennedy on tomorrow's show with Jessica Mason Piclo, writing for Rewire.news. Trump's former personal lawyer Michael Cohen has said that he would put family and country first in relation to the serious investigation that he is under by special counsel Robert Mueller. The embattled lawyer, who had once said he would do anything for Trump, told ABC's George Stephanopoulos in an interview released today, quote, "I will not be a punching bag as part of anyone's defense strategy. I am not a villain of the story, and I will not allow others to try to depict me that way." Among the many things that Cohen is being investigated for is a $130,000 payment he made to an adult film actress that Trump was allegedly having an affair with ahead of the election. Cohen also commented on Trump's recent tweet taking Russian President Vladimir Putin at his word that Russia did not interfere in the 2016 U.S. election. "Simply accepting the denial of Mr. Putin is unsustainable," said Cohen. "I respect our nation's intelligence agency's unanimous conclusions." In international news, 19 people were killed and dozens wounded in Nangarhar province in Afghanistan over the weekend. Reports indicate that 17 out of the 19 dead are minority faith Afghan Hindus and Sikhs. Among the dead in the city of Jalalabad is a Sikh leader who had planned to run in Afghanistan's parliamentary elections this October. No one has yet claimed responsibility for the deadly attack, but the Taliban and Islamic State are both present and active in the region. The U.S. has been waging war in Afghanistan since 2001. Trump's hawkish national security adviser John Bolton said on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday that the U.S. would denuclearize North Korea in a year. It was the first time that anyone from the Trump administration imposed a timeline for the process that Trump said North Korean leader Kim Jong-un promised. But contradictory reports indicate it will be much harder to convince Mr. Kim to completely dismantle his nation's nuclear weapons capabilities. And that does it for today's headlines. On today's show, we'll cover a new bombshell report by The Intercept that has detailed eight U.S. cities where AT&T owns buildings through which it transmits massive amounts of digital data in order to share it with the NSA. Henrik Moltke, who co-wrote the article, will be our guest. Then we'll continue coverage of privacy issues with a look at a sweeping new California bill that just became law and that offers the strictest privacy protections to consumers in the nation. Jamie Court of Consumer Watchdog will join me. Finally, on today's show, we'll examine an innovative model to tackle poverty, one that is long-term, that actually works, and is detailed in a new book by award-winning journalist Suzanne Bowen called 20 Years of Life, Why the Poor Die Earlier, and How to Challenge Inequity. That's coming up in just a moment.